Welcome to Next Man Up. This is Luke here with
Lava.
and we'll have well, we will have someone joining us shortly. Been a while.
Yeah. Recording one of these things, man. Whole quarantine mess, man.
Yeah, and college, graduations, stuff like that. It makes it crazy. I feel like we should start with the thing that happened like right when we took the break and Kenny Atkinson getting fired.
Who wants to start here?
That it feels like it happened years ago.
Yeah, man.
It really does. Yeah.
All I'm going to say is I called that.
You kind of did, honestly.
But I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you go.
I really am not surprised because it was very clear it's been clear for years now. He's not great with managing players that could be considered either stars or the best players on the team. He's always rubbed people the wrong way. Like, he has an issue with D'Angelo Russell still, and all these new guys he treated like they were who they were. Like, and that's not how you treat superstar players.
Yeah.
Always going to
the biggest
his downfall.
Yeah, the biggest problem with Kenny Atkinson is, at least to me, he does not believe in, like, hot hand mentality.
Mm-hmm.
He'll leave guys open in the same vein, in the thought process that they're going to regress to normal shooting percentages.
Yeah.
That's just...
And I think...
He's very methodical in his approach to basketball.
I think Kyrie probably wasn't too happy with that when during that Bulls game when he was 2 points away breaking the Nets record for most points in a game, and Atkinson.
And they benched him.
I mean, I don't know if that was like.
He was literally perfect in the first half. And
he would have.
I can't believe that.
The record, which would have made that game that much more sweeter, just because it's a perfect storm. Kyrie Irving, new guy, 20 games in, breaking Deron Williams' record, who everyone hates. And
yeah.
And he would have. There was enough time where he could have gotten like 60.
Yeah, and I just want to bring this up real quick. Deron Williams, one of the picks that the Nets traded for Deron Williams was a late lottery selection in 2011, which they could have used to draft Kawhi Leonard. So if you don't hate Deron Williams, there's more reason to hate him.
I don't tend to think about that, like trading what picks would have became. Because you don't know whether we would have drafted them or not.
You know, we probably would have taken Alec Burks.
Yeah. So it's whatever, but I'm not. I remember because I was going to college visit when it happened. And I was like, holy crap. Because you don't normally fire a head coach. Normally you'll hear rumblings that he's on the hot seat. And Nets fans figured he was. But there was never a rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's never, like, a really, like, big turning point, I feel like. And I think you could look at a good example of the what you're talking about was I believe he had some sort of, like, arguments with DeAndre Jordan. And, like, DeAndre Jordan thought he was going to be the starting center in front of Jared Allen. So I think right when DeAndre Jordan came into the Nets, I don't think it was that unsettling for him. And then it just – I don't know what happened with KD and Kyrie. We don't have any proof of any beef between them. But I hope they sign like a Tyronn Lue or something like that.
I feel like Tyronn Lue is the best for the job because Atkinson's okay at game managing, but his thing is developing. And when you have the talent the Nets have, all you need is a coach who has a basic understanding of how to run a team.
Yeah.
Is able to manage the players themselves. And we'll get into how many of the current players.
Yeah, what I think the Nets really need from their coach is they really need two things. They need a coach that can manage the egos of the players on the court. And we need a coach that is flexible in how they're willing to run the team, meaning that they're willing to change something if they see it doesn't work, that makes adjustments, that isn't scared to, you know, play weird lineups. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And honestly, I wouldn't mind sticking with Vaughn if we don't get Ty Lue. Because the other name, the rumor early was Popovich. And I don't think that's likely, but it's still a possibility because of how many Spurs and Team USA connections we have.
Popovich, I think, is more likely to – I think Popovich is just straight up retiring. I can't see him coaching again.
If he leaves the Spurs, it's to the Nets.
Because at the moment, the situation with the Spurs is that they're pretty mediocre. You know, they have DeRozan. He's going to be a free agent if he declines that player option, which he won't.
It would be dumb to decline the player option because
– especially now.
I don't think he's bad, but his stock has definitely fallen.
I think that his stock has fallen, like, in an unfair way because he's still kind of the same player.
It's the same player, but
he's now in an offense that doesn't shoot.
They literally replaced him with Kawhi Leonard. And everyone's like, oh, my God, he sucks. And it's like, no, Kawhi Leonard is that good. They were a good team. The problem was always LeBron. And the same year Kawhi came, LeBron left. So
yeah,
you killed two birds with one stone. But I feel if it's not Ty Lue, I wouldn't mind running it back with Vaughn because from the three or four games we saw of him, he seemed like he had what it took. But
I mean, you could say that about Kenny too.
Huh?
You could say that about Kenny too at certain points of last season and this season.
Of managing late game, especially that Lakers game where everything
was
for us.
We don't have a big sample size.
I think the most impressive thing.
That's why I said I would be fine with running it back with him. But I think you got to take a risk because the NBA is all about building to a championship window that doesn't last very long. And you got to go for broke. And that's why it was fine with the firing of Atkinson because we don't have time to waste. We already lost a year, for the most part, of KD.
Yeah,
the NBA is interesting.
But if not for Corona, we would not have had Kevin Durant, which is a huge thing.
We still probably won't get Kevin Durant. I'm trying to be like cautiously optimistic. I'm assuming Kyrie and KD aren't coming back this year.
I think KD's ready. You know, I think Kyrie. I saw like once or games.
No, Kyrie.
I don't think
then Kevin Durant because we'll talk about this now, I guess. But Kyrie posted an Instagram post of him putting on, like, shoes at a court. So he's ready. And I think
I think he's returned to on-court practice. I don't know if he's ready for, like, actual in-game situation.
He'll definitely be ready. He'll definitely be ready by the time the NBA season starts back up. Because we don't have, like, a set in stone date. So that can only mean good things for
the Nets. Tentative date is, like, July.
Yeah,
beginning of July. So, and here's the thing. I think Kevin Durant plays because, yes, there was that Woj speculation. And the reason I say it's speculation is because when Woj is reporting something solid, he always writes a story about it for ESPN and tweets. For Kevin Durant. And it's not been said he's going to play, but it's not been said he's definitely not playing. It's always been he's not. We don't know yet. It's up to Kevin.
I think
the factor that might come into it is if the playoffs were to start now, and we'll get into the because I kind of want to do like our fantasy brackets if with 1 through 8 right now, we would be playing Toronto, the team.
We would, and it's a very good team.
That's a scary
opponent.
But
it's still unproven. It's a question mark because we don't know how that team is without Kawhi Leonard.
The Raptors are one of the teams I'm most confident against. Because of the playoff teams, we played them the best.
Yeah, we definitely play well against Toronto. That's a great. I love
lost
that
to
team.
Them. It was like 5 points, 10 points. It wasn't like.
And then we beat them off of their like 15-game winning streak. I was there for that.
That was without Kyrie, right?
Kyrie, yeah. I think like Joe Harris hit like a million shots.
Yeah, that was a good game.
And since we're talking about tentative dates, There was an interesting debate on Twitter. Is there an asterisk after this season?
No.
I agree, because similar to the lockout season from like 2011 or 2010 that everyone forgets about, the Spurs championship, there's no asterisk there. Because it's not like, for example, the Houston Astros cheating in baseball. That's an asterisk because they had an unfair advantage. Every team, if anything, this is going to show who the best team is even more.
Because everyone's healthy.
Hasn't played in months.
Also, everybody's healthy.
Everyone's not healthy, but it.
Almost everyone's healthy.
Yeah, like everyone has everyone's had time to rehab, and everyone.
I mean, obviously, playing, like the Mavs are missing like Dwight.
Yeah, Powell, but everyone who's going to be playing is going to be playing at as close to 100% as possible because they essentially had half an off season.
Yeah, and I agree with you how it proves it even more because it shows that team could really, you know, fight through adversity and like not play basketball for months, but still find a way to pull through and win the championship. Because I feel like, I don't know, man. It's just gonna be telling of who really the best team in basketball.
The
is.
Other reason I say there's not gonna be much of an asterisk is because the regular season was almost over anyway. Like there were
16 games.
So left. It's not like they played 40 games and then they're like, okay, we're gonna jump to the playoffs. It was the point where,
you know,
other than anything really drastic, especially in the East, where the difference between the 8 and the 9 seed is 5.5 games, we probably weren't going to have much movement, and the Nets probably weren't going to be in trouble because the rumor too now is they might play to 70.
Yeah,
but the Nets would clinch because they're, I think, 7 games up with 6 games.
Oh no, not yeah, no, we clinch if we play 4 games. I mean,
well, no.
Obviously, if they're playing,
play regular season games, so we're in the
playoffs. Yeah, if we play regular season games, the biggest fear then is not getting behind the Magic, who will have Jonathan Isaac back,
I think the Nets would prefer the regular season because that might be better to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving playing because you get those 6 games to at least ease them back in. Because in the playoffs, even if it's the first game back, you're playing them 20, 30 minutes. But if you're in the regular season, you can play KD 5-10 minutes, Kyrie 5-10 minutes to see how they are. And then you can decide from there because I don't want Kevin Durant getting hurt. But it's been a year since he got hurt. Like, it's way past the normal recovery time.
Which is good.
Before the season ended, it was being reported he was ahead of schedule.
Yeah. He was like shooting shots in the gym and stuff.
Playing 5-on-5.
I
think he's healthy. It's just whether they want to risk it or they want to make sure he's in even better shape than he is now.
That's in the playoffs. Are you playing Kevin Durant the normal expectancy?
You have to.
No. Depends on how he's been in the regular season. So, like, if he's in the regular season, if he's struggling to get back. Or if, like, he's playing but Kyrie isn't, I don't think you play him every minute. I think you play him
later. I agree with that. But if they jump into the playoffs as is, you have to because we're the 7 seed, so it's an uphill battle. If we play Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, we're the best 7 seed ever.
Of all time.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like,
the only lower if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are playing, the only lower seeds that are, like, on our caliber might be – like the 95 Rockets. Or was it 94? There was a year where the Rockets were the 6 seed and then the Knicks made the finals as the 8 seed.
The only thing I'm nervous about is with Kevin Durant playing, you're going to have chemistry issues.
Of course.
I think I don't know if it's going to be chemistry issues, but just going to be adjusting because, like, you look at maybe Spencer Dinwiddie.
He's never played minutes with people like Allen and LeVert.
Dinwiddie has never played NBA minutes with Kevin Durant. He's barely Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
It's just going to be such a tough adjustment.
Not used to the touches.
Yeah, I'd honestly be shocked if the Nets make it past, like, even the second round, even fully healthy.
Because
just that playing time is just so important to it.
But team. Here's the thing too, like in terms of Kevin Durant, the best comp for him at age and foot and everything and skill was Dominique. I think it was Dominique. And he came back better from after his injury.
He did. He did. And then he fell off completely.
And I've said this since the beginning. Kevin Durant doesn't rely on athleticism. He relies on being 7 foot tall and being able to shoot threes. Like, he relies on athleticism a little bit, but it's also his non-dominant foot. So it's like, it's not as big of an issue as, say, like, a Kyrie Irving tearing his ACL. That would.
Of course.
I'm just nervous about
playing in the playoffs is the Bucks, and maybe I'm not even worried about the Sixers because they were having chemistry issues before the break. So
the two teams that I think scare me the most in the East, if I'm talking about the Nets playing them, are probably the Celtics and the Bucks, because I think both of those teams, the Bucks, I think Kyrie just plays awful against the Bucks in general, especially last season. He was so bad against them.
The reason I'm not worried about the Celtics as much is because Kyrie has the motivation. And when we all know Kyrie's motivated, Kyrie is playing lights out.
Yeah, I think that would be huge. I think that series would be tough because
I think that being a seven-game series, but
if we're talking purely like all after the All-Star break, like nothing else, purely after All-Star break, Jason Tatum was like a top five player in the NBA after the All-Star break.
Yeah, he was a monster.
I don't want to face him.
All right, so talking about team construction, big rumors reported by Bondi that Beal is being talked about by the Nets. And normally, I would say this wasn't a big deal because any of you who follow me on Twitter know that I'm not a huge buying into rumors or reports for the most part. But the only reason I believe this is because this is kind of following the same pattern that the KD and Kyrie reports happen. The Nets reporters and the people in the know with the Nets or the knowledgeable Net fans saw the connections and started tweeting about it. Then a couple of Nets reporters that know their stuff started tweeting about it. And then roughly the same time last year, during the playoffs, it came out that Kyrie was interested. And I think it's different with the trade because I don't buy Beal saying he's not going to get traded or his agent saying he's not going to get traded because he doesn't have a no-trade clause. So they wouldn't know if he was going to get traded because from the report, it seems like it's very preliminary talks, but that doesn't. And since it's preliminary, they're probably not telling the agent yet. And out of all the teams, I feel the Nets have the best package to give. And I think you can do that without giving up Caris LeVert, because I do think a package of Dinwiddie, Allen, Kurucs, Prince or Temple and a couple of picks is good enough to get your Bradley Beal of the world. Because yes, the Wizards are going to be stingy about it. And yes, Beal wants to be there. But I think if the Nets are persistent enough, there's no way they don't get him.
Yeah. I think those three players, Allen, Dinwiddie, LeVert, and like maybe one or two first are enough to get the deal done. But I'm 100% buying this report. Me and you had a huge argument. I think it was an episode or two ago about how about that Kyrie quote about how we don't have enough, and maybe he was like, you know, KD, Kyrie, Sean Marks, you know, they all sat down together. They were like, hey, we need some more firepower in this team, and this is how we're going to get it. We have a star that's not winning enough in Washington, you know. Even if John Wall comes back, they're probably going to be a borderline playoff team. So I think they're looking at Bradley Beal, and that's their time to strike, man. I think they're going to get this deal done.
I think they're in more of a rebuild mode because John Wall is not going to be the same John Wall. Because this is his first injury.
Explosive one.
And he's one of those guys that relies on athleticism. So I think the main thing with him and with that situation is just trying to make sure that they can make a run with John Wall. And I think they would be fine with risking something like that because they would be getting – yes, you're giving up Bradley Beal, who's a top 15 player. But in return, you're getting a bunch more pieces that fill the hole instead of getting a top 10, you're getting like three or four top 100. That's more that's where you weigh the negative and the positive.
I think that the Wizards, almost 100%, the Wizards are not really thinking about trading Beal right now. Or at the very, they might be like considering it.
Like I think they're in very preliminary talks right now. But I don't think trade packages are being thrown around.
I think that like Beal has been kind of sent to the Nets in the same way that, you know, it was rumored that Anthony Davis might go to the Celtics. Not really the Lakers, just, you know, the talks are like maybe there's been a little bit of talking, but it hasn't been really heavily considered by Washington at all, because I think that they believe, especially with how weak the Eastern Conference is, that with a healthy John Wall, even if he's not 100%, and the development that they saw from players like Thomas Bryant and Rui Hachimura this year, they might think they have a legitimate shot to be a tough playoff team, depending on how Wall comes back, maybe even a contender. I think that they're wrong, but I think that they're going to see that possibility out.
Yeah, I think time will tell. They're not rushing to trade Bradley Beal. I mean, he's, as you said, he's a top player. I mean, they're not going to rush it. If he gets
traded, I don't see him going to anyone other than the Nets.
I can see him
going. Yeah, I mean, that's the only logical.
Actually, I could see him going somewhere like Denver or like Boston. If Boston wants him, they have a bunch of players they could trade.
Yeah, I mean why would Boston get Bradley Beal?
If they want a guy that obviously he raises the talent level of their team. Same reason the Nets want him. Same reason most teams would want him. He's a top 15 player. You know, Jaylen Brown is nice and all, but he's not Bradley Beal.
Well, I think that's what I mean. Like, I think the Nets have more of those pieces like LeVert, like Allen, where do I want to give them up? No. But I feel like those pieces are better than what is currently available for other teams, because Brown is similar to
Jaylen Brown has a significantly higher ceiling than Caris LeVert because he's 3 years younger and has shown significant. Like, I think
that LeVert feel now really LeVert's good. A better player, though.
I believe Jaylen Brown is a year younger. I think it's like 24.
Caris LeVert's 24. He's almost 26. Jaylen Brown is 23.
I don't know, man. Like, LeVert, like, the numbers don't show that he's a very good player, but like, man, but like, if he's on, he's on, man. But Jaylen Brown, man,
he's a talent. See the picture from today that LeVert posted of him looking like jacked?
Yeah, he said, "I hear y'all." I like that. He's got a chip on his shoulder. That's good.
He needs to have a chip on his shoulder because you need to have motivation.
Yep.
He wants to be third star, man.
He can be the third star. He's got the defense potential. He's long.
Here's the thing. In the playoffs last year and before the shutdown, he was playing like a third star.
He was playing like the star of the team as a whole.
Do it consistently without getting hurt, which makes me nervous.
I mean, he's injured.
It was only one injury. I think it was just the. I think it was just time to get back.
Oh yeah, the hand injury too.
I don't think that him like something. Him, what was it? Was it like he tore like a tendon in his hand, or like he did something to like a tendon? It was like strained or whatever. I don't think that correlates to like his other injuries.
No,
you know?
But the one that concerns me is just the foot injury that he had last year.
Yeah, that was like it was a bad fall.
I mean, that was a bad fall though. It's not like
no, but in college he had knee issues.
Yeah.
So the fact he hurt his knee again, it makes me a little wary.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get what you're coming from. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want an injury-prone player team that you could trade for a star. You know, I get it. If the deal is on the plate, you take it. You know, Bradley Beal, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, maybe on this night he could show up. Bradley Beal is going to show up almost every single night. You know what I'm saying?
Bradley Beal is one of the most durable players in the NBA. He's led the league in, I think, like, what was it, like miles ran for, like, the past two seasons?
Yeah, so, I think you take the deal, but I think it's going to be hard because if LeVert is going to play, like, a third star – and then you have Dinwiddie and then Allen. I mean, it's going to be a hard deal. It's going to be a hard
See, the
one.
Question is, you see, Washington may not even want Jared Allen. I think
they're probably not going to want him. And they have Wagner.
They might want him because they might see him as an upgrade over Thomas Bryant. But they also could just – they're like reportedly they really like Thomas Bryant. Like that's like
– Yeah, they
think he's great.
They have Wagner from Germany, UK, who was with, like, the Lakers and stuff. He's been good, too. So, like, where's your Allen?
I wanted – when that was the draft, I wanted Mo Wagner. And
yeah, he's been good.
That was the draft we got Musa.
That was Musa, right? No, I think – was that Karuks?
It was the Musa. Karuks was second-round pick. Musa was the first.
Yeah, Wagner, and then we took
and Cruz has been better.
Wagner was picked like two picks before.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously the Nets are in an interesting situation. They can go a lot of different directions this offseason. They don't have the same, like, killer assets that other teams have, but they have an underrated stash of them. The question is, who is going to be trading away players? And the main thing is, what teams are going to be, how many teams are going to be willing to part with their players this next season? You know, next season is the year right before one of the most stacked free agency classes in recent memory.
Yeah.
2020, 2021 is absolutely crazy. So I think that might work both to the Nets' benefit and detriment for finding players. Because obviously a lot of guys are going to be on the trade block. But there's also, as a result, there's going to be more teams trying to trade for them. So they might have to give up more than they otherwise would in a normal year.
I have a question for you guys. If that Washington trade, if Beal's want to come, you know what I'm saying? If that doesn't work out, who are the Nets eyeing? Or do they stick with their situation?
I think they would get Aaron Gordon.
I would love
I'm actually looking at McCollum.
I think McCollum, I don't know if they want to get rid of him.
I don't know if Portland wants to trade
McCollum. They've
McCollum.
Reached their ceiling. They're not doing anything.
That's true. I agree with the fact that because Nurkic is hurt.
Yeah, but Portland fans are acting like Nurkic's like a key nice one. Like, what's he give 15 points tonight, but Nurkic is a
the problem with Nurkic.
Yeah, that's because he beats against Allen every single game.
He's the injury thing too, because he got that bad injury.
He did. So he's up in the air, but they've got if Portland were to make that deal, let's just assume it goes through, how much does that raise the Nets ceiling? You've got another ball dominant guard that doesn't play defense. Congrats.
That's the thing.
That's true.
That's why I want someone like Aaron Gordon, because Gordon is a forward, which helps the depth there. But more importantly, he's a good or better defender. And also, like, I think people underestimate a couple of the Nets players. Like, I think Taurean Prince is very underrated because he had a rough season, but you look at the stats and, like, the bigger picture, he had a lot, almost as many really good games than he did really bad.
I went to his best game of the season. It was Nets Pistons. He was, like, lights on. And right before the game, he couldn't miss in practice either. So
best I was like, oh, game was probably OKC.
It might have been that Detroit game. He went for like 22, and he was like hyper efficient.
Man,
or it could have been that game. I didn't watch the Thunder game.
Yeah, I feel bad for Prince because like, yo, there's like some Nets fans, bro. They go off at him on and like when he just tweets about like quotes and stuff, bro. They go off, bro. They flame.
Yeah, him. Everyone.
Goes I feel off bad. Him, like, dude. I feel bad for him. Like, sure he. He's not fishing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in biggest crit. I freaking hate the guy, you know? If he's missing, I hate him. He's really useless. Like, he plays all right defense, but, like, literally can't. Like, if he's not on, like, I hate him. Get off the floor, you know what I'm saying?
Yo,
like,
you've seen my Twitter bio, right?
Yeah. But, like, when you harass him, or not harass, you know, I'm not going to make it like that. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you just, like, type in hate comments. When he's trying to be like positive and spread like quotes,
that doesn't help.
Yeah, it doesn't help the player's confidence. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't help.
The other guy that has been linked to the Nets is Drew Holiday.
Yeah, Can I talk about the benefits of a Drew Holiday trade first? I'm like probably. The biggest fanatic for Drew Holiday trade.
Drew Holiday. I just don't know how well he works with what we have.
What do you mean?
We don't need a guard.
Yeah, but I think the Pelicans, we could low-key get him for cheap because he doesn't match the Pelicans' timetable, right?
He's a free agent. He's an upcoming free agent.
I think he has like 2 years left in this deal, right? He's bound to be 30 years old, right? And you're still getting some good minutes out of him night in, night out. So I think the Pelicans might low-key get rid of him for cheap, honestly. I think that.
My mouse clicking, by the way? You hear my mouse clicking?
A little bit.
I'm just doing stuff, so.
Yeah, so the reason why I think a Drew Holiday trade would be great is because I think next to Kyrie, they kind of work off each other's biggest weaknesses. Kyrie is a decent when he tries, Kyrie is like solid on defense, but he's not a great defender.
Yep.
But what he is he's a hyper efficient shooter and he likes to drive a lot. The only problem with him driving a lot is that he's kind of injury prone. So ideally, you want to maximize the jump shots Kyrie is taking and try to lessen the amount of unnecessary drives that he does. Like when he drove against the Sixers, there was a game where they were playing the Sixers and he drives against them and he jumps right into Horford, Embiid, and Tobias Harris. And of course, he got blocked, you know?
Bro,
so yeah. Drew Holiday is bigger. He's a pretty good finisher at the rim. He's very good at slashing. He's a great defender. His biggest problem is that he's not an elite shooter like a lot of other players in the NBA. He's a great facilitator as well, so that takes care of another concern with Kyrie Irving. I think they're just a perfect like match for each other, especially in the Nets system where the ball flows everywhere. You know, you want as many players that are capable of making passes as possible, and Drew Holiday can certainly make
great the concern battle. I have with the Drew Holiday trade is I don't know what I would be willing to give up.
I agree.
Would you be willing to give up either Dinwiddie or Caris LeVert in that deal?
It would need to be like an Allen or Prince Musa in a pick. Like
I mean, that's if the Pelicans get desperate. But at the moment, they probably would either want one of those players. Because, man, Drew Holiday's probably a good player, man.
Dinwiddie, like, maybe, but not LeVert. LeVert, I would only give up for Beal.
He's a 20. Holiday's a 20 points per game player. Especially because
of LeVert's contract.
He's high teens, 20 points per game player.
We don't need another 20 point per game guard.
Yeah, but it's also fit and it elevates your guard play.
Well, if you get rid of LeVert,
I don't think you trade LeVert.
You don't have as many forwards, and that's a big problem we already have. So I don't want to give up another forward to get another guard.
So
Aaron Gordon would be the one I want next to.
We've been linked him for so long.
I like Aaron Gordon.
That's
too.
Just
I like
Nets Twitter being Nets Twitter and having an obsession with Aaron Gordon. But it just makes sense.
I like that fit as well. I think that when it comes to, I think that Aaron Gordon is a player very much very similar to Draymond Green in that if your team has a stagnant offense like Orlando did this season, you know, he's not really doing a lot for you. But last season, Orlando had, it still wasn't a great offense, but it was better. And Aaron Gordon was a significantly better player as a result. Yeah, but
in Orlando, too, is he's expected to be like that.
That, the guy.
Not the guy, because I think Vucevic is the guy there.
The second best.
And he's not a number two option. He's a number three or a number four, which is what he would be on the Nets.
Yeah, I think, look, this is an option I'm open to. We could if Bradley Beal hypothetically traded him, we could roll out a lineup of Kyrie, Bradley Beal, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, and DeAndre Jordan. We could roll Kevin Durant at the four. And then we could play Joe Harris at the small forward position.
I think that, I think we're actually probably going to see a few games where Kevin Durant actually plays center. I don't think it'll be for very long, but I think we might see some KD small ball.
I honestly think that is very dependent on how Taurean Prince develops, because he's still younger. So I think he has a chance to become a guy. And if he becomes a guy that can start a couple games and we want to give someone like DeAndre Jordan rest and we don't feel like playing Claxton that day or we can't, I'm not opposed to playing Kevin Durant at center.
Why the hell would you play KD at the five? Why?
Here's a hypothetical situation, well,
He's able to, and if your other centers need rest, why not?
Yeah, but he's not physical enough. He's going to get bullied around.
He isn't. He isn't. So, but not every team, you know, has a dominant center.
Well, you could also play him against a center.
Yeah.
Small ball team.
And then Kevin Durant murders the other.
Yeah,
center,
you can. Yeah, yeah. Like
playing him against the Rockets.
You can play him when there's certain lineup changes.
He doesn't need to guard.
I'm not saying you play him against the Bucks at center, but you just play him matchups fit if you feel like you want to.
Yeah, I get that.
Put him against like Draymond Green, PJ Tucker as a counter small ball five, or you can play him at five if you're down. If you need to make a comeback and you obviously want to get the most talent in the game, Kevin Durant is the most talented.
So the other thing I want to mention is with this clean slate, what is your finals?
I'll go first. I'm going to say a Lakers Bucks finals, and the Lakers win in six.
I think I think the Bucks probably make it because they're clearly, I think, the most talented team from top to bottom in the East. But I think it's going to be the Clippers from the West, because their thing has been this whole season resting players, and I think with having a long time, these people to
that was weird.
I think they make it, and I think if the Bucks are going to win a championship, it has to be this year, because I'm genuinely uncertain if Giannis stays.
But he still has one more year.
Yeah, he does. But I think...
just for his morale, right?
Hmm?
Just for his, like, morale, and you're coming off the championship win, maybe he's leaning to sign that extension.
Yeah, I think that if you don't get it done this year, you run the risk of him going to another team that has cap space, that has a better future. Like, you run the risk of him heading to the Miami Heat, or like the Hawks or something.
Warriors.
Warriors have also been a big one. But you run the risk of him, because he seems to like it in Milwaukee as well. He is a player that I believe isn't biased towards big markets. So you could even see him go to, like, smaller market teams on the rise.
I think he would go to a small market team.
He might go to a mid-market team. He might go to, like, well, he probably won't. But, like, team. Let's just say he goes to, like, the Suns or something. I don't know. It's a random
team. You can see the Suns. But they're such a bad an organization, why the hell would you
imagine, like, them running with Booker and Giannis together?
Yeah, but, like, what else do you have?
That was just a thing I threw out there. That's just a random thing. I mean, but, like, you run the risk.
I
could
see that, but I don't know the cast situation. Yeah. But yeah, you could see that. You could definitely see that.
You run the risk of him going, like, teams that he could just sign with, you know, because he just thinks he fits there, or if he wants to play with, like, a legit closer, not Chris Middleton, or if the Bucks choke, they run the risk of him going to almost any team in the NBA, I think.
Yeah. And, like,
so
that free agency class
is stacked.
Is stacked.
Yeah. Although, let's load up who's in this class.
There's going to be a lot of, I think there might, if there's a lot of movement, it's going to be very much.
Paul George is a free agent. Leonard's a free agent.
He could team up with, like, Chris Paul, LeBron, Kawhi, Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin and Chris Paul are going to take their player options, though. But if they don't, which they won't.
Giannis isn't going to Detroit.
Giannis isn't going to Detroit. Might go to the Thunder, though, if Chris Paul is so good. Oh, but he's also 36.
You can see them, but I don't know if they get another star. I don't know how they're going to get another star.
Yeah, but he could sign with, like, the Raptors. That's an iffy fit. I'm just naming teams. Like Lowry's a free agent. DeRozan's a free agent. Holiday, Gobert, Anthony Davis, Andre Drummond, LaMarcus Aldridge, Victor Oladipo.
Dinwiddie has an option.
Yeah. There's a lot of J.J. Redick has an option. Danny Green has an option. There's a lot of good role players and a lot of stars out there that, let's say he wants to play with Kawhi Leonard, right? He calls up Kawhi Leonard. He says, Kawhi, let's go play with the Knicks. I don't know. Just naming them because they actually have the cap space to sign them. They probably won't get – they probably won't get Giannis Kawhi. They might – I think they'll get someone in this upcoming free agency if they're good next year.
But man, the Thunder are in a pretty weird situation because they haven't really committed to the rebuild yet.
The Thunder are so in a weird state of rebuilding and winning.
Yeah, because look, they have Steven Adams. They have Gallinari. I don't think Gallinari's a free agent in this up-and-coming 2020 class. So I don't think they bring him back because I'm pretty sure on the trade deadline, he was extremely close of going to the Miami Heat.
He almost got traded. Yeah. But it was like some weird contract thing with, like, Andre Iguodala or something, mm-hmm. that Danilo Gallinari couldn't be traded there or whatever.
Yeah, I think he recognizes that he doesn't fit their timetable. I think also Steven Adams, man, like, he's like 26, 27, but I don't know if anyone's gonna trade for Steven Adams. I mean, you can see the Celtics trade for him, but he has a massive contract.
But he's a free agent as well, I think.
As someone who thinks, yeah, Steven Adams is one of the most underrated players in the NBA, I would not trade for him. Because he's getting older, and especially in the Nets situation, you don't need him.
Well, not really the Nets, but maybe like...
Yeah, not really for the Nets.
Yeah, that's definitely not for the Nets. Doesn't make sense.
Steven Adams like is 26, 27.
Because I think he loves OKC, and I think OKC management loves him.
I could definitely see him
on every team, because he's that kind of like enforcer.
Yep, he's like the Nick Collison, but if Nick Collison was good.
He's a Morris brother. Yeah. He's a nicer Morris brother.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, just really quickly run through this really, like the playoffs as they were. This is like assuming that this isn't the other idea they've thrown around, like the playoff tournament where every team's in the playoffs.
I don't. I think it's going to be jump into playoffs or regular season up to 70 in playoffs.
I don't think it's going to be. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to be play-in tournament.
Yeah.
But obviously, Bucks are projected. No, Bucks play the Magic in the first round. We think Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Raptors, Nets, that's a toss-up.
Depends on who plays.
Depends on, obviously, how.
I'm going Raptors. If just Kyrie plays, I think the Nets win. But if neither one of them play, I think Raptors win.
Yeah.
Celtics. Wait, what? Wait. You think that Kyrie and that Nets team could win against the Raptors?
Well, yes. Without Kyrie before.
When they were on their massive game winning streak.
That's regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Raptors are notorious playoff chokers.
This is the old Raptors.
I mean, like, I agree
they
with that.
They have Siakam. They have Larry. I think they have Ibaka and Anobi.
You see,
like,
the thing is that we simultaneously have a great and awful matchup against them because Siakam kind of kills us. But for whatever reason, we also have a knack for getting Kyle Lowry to suck when he plays against us. Terms of the game. He doesn't do like the little things against us. Or he does, but he actually gets called for him because our players like call attention.
That's the other thing too. If Kyrie and KD play, we'll get more respect from the Nets.
More respect from
the refs, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, so you're saying if KD and Kyrie play, the refs will ease on us?
Yeah, because they respect stars.
Superstar.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about that. But with Dinwiddie, one of the problems with him is he gets so angry at the refs.
Bro, they miss calls. They really do miss
they
calls.
They do, but it,
I'm not even gonna lie.
It doesn't
like they do, but his
it doesn't help that he yells at them.
Bro, but there's some times, bro, when he gets fouled, like. Oh, and they just don't call anything.
They miss some obvious fouls, but I don't blame them for it because they don't like him.
Yeah, they don't like him, but that's what's going to happen when you don't call calls against a player.
It's gonna happen because that's how the NBA is. Also, we got to talk about the whole Dinwiddie GoFundMe incident.
Yeah.
Look, I think we could probably sit here and talk about Raptors Nets for like a while.
For a while.
But yeah. Let's just assume that this is full health 100%, right? Nets, right?
Yeah, Nets one, yeah.
Right? Yeah, Luke?
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely picked the Nets.
Just for the sake of like time, because we've already been recording for a pretty long time. Something just fell over. We've already been recording for a pretty long time, so I think we should just try to get through like the standings relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So the next team is like Celtics Sixers. We agree it's Celtics, right? Like
that one, yeah.
Man,
so but that's a weird matchup wise because I don't know.
Did you guys watch a Sixers versus Bucks match on Christmas?
Didn't the Sixers win, or did
Bucks? Yeah,
yeah.
No, Sixers versus Bucks. Now, when I was watching that game, man, if they play like that every single game in the playoffs or every single even regular season game, they will be scary. But I don't even know. I don't know if they're gonna show up. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the Celtics.
You see,
that's been their question all season. Which one is gonna show up?
The lazy one, or the determined one?
And honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with how their centers play.
I think a lot of it has to do with what lineups they're running. So I think that Philly can kind of be Boston's kind of nightmare matchup in a way, because Boston's the biggest problem that we've heard all season is obviously their center position, and they have Joel Embiid.
Yeah, that's going to be hard.
I'm going to take Boston in six, I think.
Yeah, it's not going to be a blowout. It's going to be definitely a hard fought
series. I have Boston in seven.
That's fair as well. But we all agree Boston, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This series is going to be great. Heat Pacers with Victor Oladipo back.
Well, with Oladipo, though, the problem is he's missed a year and he hasn't played much.
I don't know, because, like, the Heat don't have experience. And I feel like that's going to play a factor. You look at Tyler Hero, who's a crucial part of their team.
Bam Adebayo.
Even Derrick Jones Jr., Duncan Robinson.
But they have Jimmy
Butler. This is playoffs. This is playoffs. This is regular season, and I don't know if those players are ready for it. And, I mean, this is just being realistic. I'm not, like,
fans, we know down how killer Jimmy Butler can be in the playoffs.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, the Heat, and this is what makes this series interesting, because a lot of Heat players don't have a lot of playoff experience.
But not a lot of
Pacers. But at the same time,
because all the Pacers' playoff experience has really been first round, maybe second.
Malcolm Brogdon,
the biggest Oladipo fans in the world, like, he's the guy I wish the Nets would trade for, but I know it's unrealistic because of his injury concerns.
He's so good.
And he's so
good when he's on.
But, like, this is kind of a sidetrack, but have you guys ever played Mass Effect?
No.
No.
It's one of my favorite video game series ever, and I got it in, like, 2010 or 11. It was Oladipo's rookie season, and I named my character Oladipo because I liked his name. So I've been an Oladipo fan since he's been in the league. So I would love it, but I don't know if that Pacers team can get over a hurdle of the Heat team, because that Heat team will, like, run it down your throat, and they have a lot of really good defensive players.
Yeah, I think that it's really going to come down to the matchup between Domantas Sabonis and Bam Adebayo. And I think that the Miami Heat are going to win that matchup for now. I think that Butler is clutch. I think that a lot of their players have shown that they're clutch. Goran Dragic has shown that he's been clutch when he's actually been playing. So I think I'm going to pick the Heat in seven.
Yeah, I think here everyone likes probably. No, seven, actually. I'm fixed up.
That series can go either way, I think.
I really am concerned about how Oladipo's going to play, because did he play at all before the season?
He did, but yeah, he was up and down.
He wasn't good.
I'm going to look at his basketball reference real quick. Hold on.
He had a good game against the Bulls, I think. Yeah, go look at that.
No, he did not have a good game. Like, that was one of their only shots he made.
I forgot if it was like he had a bad game against the Bulls or a good game, but I know.
No,
was...
he had a shot against the Bulls, but those were like one of the
they've been he made. They've been resting him a lot. He played 13 games this year.
Yeah, he
and it was okay. He had his highest was his last game, where he had 27 points against Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, like Oladipo is a clutch player, yeah, but I think that the Heat just
he beat is. Him. But my concern is he only played 13 games, and most games he played in a row was the first five from when he came back.
Yeah, where
he didn't really do anything. Like he had every game was a minus.
That, and then he I mean, that's a game. Fact.
So like,
yeah,
he was hitting his stride when he came back because he played three games in a row to end the season against Chicago, Dallas, and Boston. And he had 16 points twice and then 27. His last game was his best game. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 27 points.
Yeah.
Shot 56%. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a good sign. They're missing Jeremy Lamb still.
They also lost that game.
Yeah, Jeremy Lamb's out for the season. So...
Even he if he comes back, he tore like three things.
The Indiana team is very interesting because they're very shaky. Like, they have the younger Sabonis, McDermott, Turner.
They took Cleveland to 7 2 years
they
ago.
They have Brogdon. But they're such a different team, too. I just don't know.
I mean, I feel like they're Indiana's there, but they're not there yet. I don't know.
I feel like they have all of the potential in the world to beat this Heat team and be a tough team against the Bucks, but I think that the Heat's experience is really going to carry.
Yeah.
Not really the experience of, like, the youngsters, but the experience of Goran Dragic and Jimmy Butler and Kelly Olynyk and the other vets on that roster are really going to help them. Jay Crowder, too, has been in a couple playoff series of his own.
Yeah.
So
I completely forgot about him.
And Iggy? Yeah. Heat and 7. So that leaves us with the second round, Bucks Heat. I think we're taking Bucks, right?
Yeah. Bucks, I mean, it's not going to be like mollywop. It's going to be like 6 games.
Yeah, the Heat have a. I'm actually going to say that it's going to be Bucks in 6 because the Heat have a low key good matchup against the Bucks.
It could. Yeah, but except
they,
to be honest.
They could steal a game late, but.
They can probably stop Giannis like maybe 1 or 2 games.
Series from last year.
I think that Bam can take out. I think that Bam can neutralize Giannis, and I think that
Slow him down.
I think that as we saw last year with Toronto, if you can slow Giannis down, and the Bucks aren't hitting their shots, you win every game. Like, they went from down 2-0 to winning the series.
Giannis is Katie or LeBron. You can't really neutralize him.
You can slow him down. That's all you can do.
Definitely slow him down.
Or you can isolate him to where either all of the offense goes through him or none of the offense goes through him.
Yeah, I think they're going to pick to have none of it go through him and just kind of dare
they're
the Bucks to shoot.
But the other problem with Giannis is he's a freak athlete.
The thing is, realistically, like,
the reason why I say Bucks in 6 is because I think that not only has Giannis grown as a player since last year's, you know, upset, not really upset, loss to Toronto, I think that the rest of the Bucks roster has grown. Obviously, they've added Dante DiVincenzo, who has been one of the least talked about rookies, but one of the highest impact ones. He didn't play, like, at all last year. He's technically a sophomore, but, like, in spirit, he's a rookie. He has been one of the best defenders in the NBA, one of their best shooters. Middleton has grown a lot as a player this season. I just can't see the same thing happening. I think it's going to be Bucks in 6.
Yeah.
Because it depends entirely on how the supporting cast is shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that leaves us Nets Celtics.
If Kyrie and KD play, I got it.
We're assuming they are because
they got past
the right. So are we assuming to pick the Nets to like win the whole thing? Or is what we're doing?
I don't think they win the whole thing, but again, I feel with the Celtics, you've got that motivation of Kyrie wanting to beat his old team.
Yeah. I don't even agree.
I'm picking I'm gonna say Nets in seven, but it's super close. Remember, and like
we know we can beat them because we beat them with that crazy overtime comeback.
I remember that game because I
had turned it off and took a nap, and then I woke up to see we had won in overtime. And then took a nap. We were down by like 15. And I'm like, what just happened?
That's probably what you remember. Like, you guys remember that Kings game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was up for that though.
Yeah, I stuck through that. I stuck through it. Remember, like,
come on, man. That was like a legendary.
No, I stuck it through. I stuck it through.
I didn't watch that game until overtime. I don't think, or like right the last 3-4 minutes of fourth quarter.
Oh damn!
Yeah, so
I had school and stuff.
Did you know that we came back?
Yeah, I was watching the comeback. Yeah. But like, we got so far down. I think I turned it off and I saw we were coming back, and I'm like, may as well turn this on. The two games I have the most vivid memory of was the Dinwiddie Rockets game where I was biting.
Oh my god!
And it was so I bit too much and I made my finger bleed. And Dinwiddie had that game where he had like 9 points.
Wait, can you explain how your finger was bleeding?
He bit it and it started bite, bleeding. Like, oh,
you know the skin on the side?
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah.
And yeah.
Damn.
And then I remember the Cavs quadruple overtime.
Oh yeah, DeMar Carroll. That I did not watch that one.
I watched that part
great. Quadruple again, overtime. Like,
with a lot of those late games because of college at the time, I would watch it, and if it was close, I'd keep going. If not, for like a game like Nets Cavs, I wouldn't watch unless I saw it was close, and then I would turn it on again.
Yeah, so Nets Celtics, I think I'm picking the Nets in seven in a hard
fought. Yeah, it would be hard fought. Like, I think most games would be like 5-6 points.
There might be a couple like overtime games, but I ultimately think that Kyrie Irving and Caris LeVert have, well, not really Kyrie Irving, but Caris LeVert has torched the Celtics most of the times when they played. I think that playoff Caris is a different beast.
How the hell are you guys picking the Nets? Are you guys picking without KD or with KD? Because I'm
with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. We established this immediately.
I was gonna, like, was it?
I don't know, man. Like the first round. But KD is, he's gonna take time to come back. Like, I don't know, man.
There's higher chance he comes back than not.
I'm not disputing that.
This is assuming that he's back.
Yeah.
For the sake of the argument,
it's 13 months since he got hurt.
But I'm saying that. Do you really think that Kevin Durant is gonna be at his peak, full potential, when
he's
playing all of these teams? Do you think that he's come back and he's, oh, I'm going to shoot threes now, average 30 points.
Not right
even
away.
At I think he's going to be rusty.
I think he's going to be rusty, but I think it's not really going to
matter. Here's the thing, Lava. At 75%, Kevin Durant's still a top 10 player in the NBA.
Undisputed, yeah.
It's Kevin Durant.
Yeah. But I mean,
dude, at 90%, Kevin Durant is Paul George. You know?
Yeah. But I don't know. It's a top for me, at least.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely tough, but I'm picking the Nets to come out. Do we agree, me and Lou? All right. So then it's Bucks and Nets, I guess, for the East, right?
Bucks and six, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Bucks and six. I think we have no answer.
Bucks
for
and five. Bucks
not
and
this
five.
Year.
Wouldn't say Bucks and five.
I think we take two. I think we take two. I think we get a KD game.
I think you either get a KD game.
We're gonna get a KD beast game in there. Oh, we're definitely gonna get one.
Or a Kyrie game, one of them.
I don't think we get a Kyrie game. No, we. I think Kyrie might just. Remember, this is your point. Kyrie earlier. Played trash. Against. I think six because Kyrie played trash against yeah. them, and he might just want to prove himself.
But I feel like so I think like might Kyrie played trash because like tilt back.
The reason I like, say the Kyrie year. Game is he wants to prove that he can play against the Bucks.
Yeah, I think that the Bucks win in six, and I think that against. You know, such a well-coached and well-ran team is when the Nets having, you know, such little time to gel together really
That's
shows.
Where it's going to be interesting to see how Jacques Vaughn can coach if we make it that far.
Yeah, if they get to the Bucks series, that is going to be, like, the thing that determines if he stays. If we beat the Bucks, then Jacques Vaughn stays. So if we don't, then
I don't even think that. I think he leaves more than likely.
Yeah.
Unless, like, we don't know that, like, him and Kevin Durant and Kyrie have become
I mean, he might even stay as an assistant coach. He might not even, like, completely be gone.
No, he'll move on because if we make it to the Bucks, a team that has a vacancy will sign him.
Yeah, you can see that. Yeah, you're right.
Knicks might sign him. Jacques Vaughn era.
I think the Knicks get Kenny because Kenny fits the Knicks perfectly with what their system is.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I can't wait till he benches RJ Barrett.
Kicks out to Alfred
like
Payne.
10 seconds left.
Well, as much as we make fun of stuff like that, it worked.
It does. It works for a lot of these players because they get, like, pissed off at him, and then they work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Knicks are trash, so they're probably buy. They're probably going to buy this system because they don't know what to
play. I think RJ will buy. I think that the Knicks – I think that the problem with the Knicks – isn't their work ethic. I think it's the talent. I think they're just not a talented or well
They're not a talented team right now, but I think they can be there in a year or two.
I think they can be there. I think they can be a contender for the eighth seed as early as next
year.
If everything goes right for them.
Make the right time.
Like if Mitchell Robinson, if Mitchell Robinson learns not to foul... Like
it's not even that. I mean,
that
like,
would be scary, but that's like not what I mean. Yeah,
because Julius Randle has butterfingers. So I don't know, but these next players have a bunch of like player options and stuff. So
yeah, so Bucks, right? We all agree Bucks make it up.
Yeah,
these.
That most definitely.
So, just I think we should speed this up for the West. First seed Lakers versus the 8 seeded Grizzlies.
Lakers
in five or four.
Lakers in five. I see the Grizzlies taking only one game. Do you agree, Luke?
Huh?
Do you agree that the Lakers will win?
Lakers
Grizzlies in five or even four?
I think they could take one. So yeah.
Okay.
Are you
actually like debating this?
They're that young team that could take like a game one.
Yeah, they take a game.
They're gonna take a game. It's gonna be like the Nets Sixers where if they have a shot, they need to win two of the first three.
Yeah.
Because if the Lakers get momentum, they're done.
I think the Grizzlies take game one and then lose every other
game. I think they take game three because I think they win their first home game, which would be game three, yeah.
Yeah, you could.
Either way, I think we both agree Lakers beat the Grizzlies.
Fair.
This one's interesting.
I think in five or six games, but I think that every game would be close because chirpy young teams like that, like the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Put up a fight.
This next one isn't interesting because of the winner. It's interesting because how many games does the losing team get? Clippers Mavericks.
Clippers in six.
I think Clippers in six. I think Kawhi guards Luka, and then the media is gonna start talking about how Luka is overrated because Kawhi Leonard locks him down.
The media won't say that because the media loves.
Yeah, they really love Luka. I think they love Luka, but I think it just I think it's the hype. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Trading Luka, you know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, I definitely see them winning six.
I'm going to be so annoyed when we start seeing Luka's overrated, like, tweets after, like, Kawhi.
There's definitely going to be some bait tweets. There's definitely going to be some bait.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of bait. There's going to be a lot of bait.
I might throw a bait tweet.
Nuggets Rockets is another cool one.
Definite Rockets. I'm going Rockets. Rockets in six.
How many games? So Lava says Rockets in six. I'm gonna say Nuggets in six because I think they have zero answer. I mean, Nuggets in seven, I'd say, because I think the Rockets have literally no answer for Nikola Jokic. I think Jokic goes to town. He's proven he's clutch in the playoffs.
Bro, but you have Harden and Russell Westbrook. You have Harden and Russell Westbrook.
They do have Harden and Russell
Westbrook. Bro, Harden has one. Bro, they have the offense. He goes off for 60, man.
Neither Harden nor Westbrook have done much in the playoffs at all.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook went to the finals in 2012, right? He went to the finals.
That's so hard. Dude, that's so hard. Because I could see either team like winning. Wow, that's
bro. I'm saying Rockets, man. Like, bro, Harden, Russell Westbrook, bro. Just think.
Yeah, I have Rockets in seven.
I think I'm gonna bet on the Rockets. I'm gonna bet on Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Not because of Harden. I'm betting it because of Westbrook. I don't think they'll be able to stop him from getting to his spots. So I'm gonna go with Rockets in six.
Yeah.
Then it's Jazz Thunder. I'm picking the Thunder in six, honestly.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thunder in seven.
Bogdanovic is hurt. Remember that. He's not going to play.
He was just recently, right?
No, but I don't think it was a long one. How long is the expected time recovery?
Yeah,
he's out 6 to 8 weeks. I feel like it's 6 to 8 weeks, so.
They said he's done for the year.
Oh shit. I think he's done for
the year. Here's the thing though. I don't care what the media says. I still think there's tons of tension in that Jazz locker room.
Let's go.
I agree. Yeah.
His injury per the team is a ruptured ligament in his right wrist, which is awful. And he's been playing with it since January. Which is like a
well. That's not that long. Not if you think back, about it, because the season shut down mid February. So
explain what. No, okay, it shut down March. He's been hurt since January, and I think he just got.
Why the hell did he just get treatment?
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't get it as soon as.
No, I don't think. I think he would get like 2 weeks when it said so, because when the season ended, we really didn't know what was happening, like. We didn't know what's going on. So why the hell does he wait from or the even the Jazz team?
Maybe he thought he could play through it. I don't know.
Because some players are like, yo, I'm fine, bro. Like I could play through it. You know what I'm saying? But like
Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie
wanted to play through it. Kyrie probably will try to play through
it. No, Kyrie played through it with the shoulder and that.
He probably will still try to, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Thunder. I think I'm going to pick the Thunder because they're a very young team that really wants this win. I think that the Jazz
still have attention. Chris Paul.
I think this series is going to create more tension because I think Donovan Mitchell is going to go off, but they're still going
to lose. What if the Jazz don't win? Where do they go from here?
Yeah, I think that they're probably not going to win.
Mike Conley did not work out.
Clearly, Mike Conley didn't work out. He's going to take his player option. You know, where
you
do you
could
go
see
from
a bounce
there?
Back year.
How do you improve that team? Rudy Gobert is a free agent, too.
2021. He's a free agent in 2020.
He's a 2021 free agent. Yeah. He's a free agent after the season. Do you trade him to capitalize on that value?
I think a younger team would trade for him if an extension was signed before they made the trade, like a sign and trade.
Yeah, I think that a team I could see doing that would be like the Raptors. I could see the Suns doing that.
Why? They have Ayton.
I don't think the Suns would do it. They have Ayton. They're committed to Ayton. I think the Kings could do it too.
It seemed like the Kings or the Raptors.
The Kings could, but I don't know if the Kings. Who would you trade, Buddy?
No, I mean, it's been speculated, Buddy. Yeah. Field.
Speculated, Boston? Buddy Hield, like maybe to like even the Sixers. It's been rumored, Al Horford, Marvin, and Buddy Hield.
We gotta hurry this up, right? An hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, I work today,
Marvin. Marvin Bagley. I don't know, but all right, second round in the West. It's gonna be. It would be Lakers, Thunder. We agree, Lakers.
Lakers,
right?
In seven.
Lakers, I think it's six, actually. Man, we love that.
I am a huge Shai Gilgeous-Alexander fan, so I think they take two or three.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I think they take two. I think Lakers in two is generous with how dominant the
team is. I think Lakers take in five or six max.
Here's my main concern with the Lakers. Yeah. You have two of the top five people on the planet, but they have no bench. The playoffs are a different beast because everyone holds.
But they have LeBron and AD.
The Thunder also.
No, yeah, I'm saying the win, but I don't know. I think it goes to seven because I think the wear and tear starts to get to.
I don't think it starts at all.
Here's the thing with the playoffs, too. You can't play LeBron and Anthony Davis 40 minutes every game.
But LeBron has been resting. They have been resting.
Yes. You know, I'm saying, like,
can we compensate?
This is what I mean. Yeah. I mean towards, like, the end of the second round, like, when they've played 13, 14 games and they're starting to get a little sore.
Sure. Can we compromise and say Thunder and six?
Thunder in six or seven.
Not Thunder in six. Lakers in six.
Lakers in six, yes. I think Lakers six or Lakers seven.
I think six. I think we all agree six, right?
Okay, Luke thinks seven. Yeah. We think six.
I think I only see seven because I'm a huge Shai Gilgeous fan. Rationally, six. But I...
Yeah.
Love that Thunder team, man. They're so fun to watch.
Next series is Clippers-Rockets. I can only see that either being a blowout or a seven-game series. I can't see it being like a...
Man, I think the Rockets really fight here, man. Like, it's their...
See, I think it either goes to seven or one of the teams, like, generally...
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets have been fucked over, man. They were there... They want to prove it, man. Like, they got fucked over by the Warriors, too. See, like, they want to prove it.
I think Clippers in six.
Man.
I think it's going to be Clippers in five. Here's my reasoning. I think that the Clippers as a defensive unit are perfectly geared to...
Yeah.
That's to both take advantage of the Rockets' lack of a center. Because the biggest question that everyone said with the Clippers, the only problem people have with the Clippers' defense is they don't think they have a rim protector. And you don't need to, which they do, but people don't respect Montrezl Harrell for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. The point is that the Clippers have a very good offense that can attack and can lock down Harden and Westbrook.
I think it's gonna be Clippers in seven, man. But I'm not surprised if the Rockets win this, man. They are hungry to prove. Harden is hungry to prove it, man. He wants to be on that stage, man. Like, and even like Russ, man. Like, they are so desperate to get a ring, especially in this stage.
Harden's not in the playoffs because the way Harden plays is to try to draw fouls, and the refs stop doing quote unquote superstar calls. Especially
no, man, like, I don't think it's a detriment to Harden. I think that's more of a detriment to Mike D'Antoni because Mike D'Antoni, like, before they signed Mike D'Antoni, James Harden played semi-similar to Steph. You know, obviously they're not the same player, but in terms of off-ball movement, James Harden was actually moving. So I think the question for whether the Clippers win or the Rockets win this series is –
do the Rockets run the offense through Russell Westbrook and have James Harden actually, like, do off-ball movement, or do they run it through James Harden? I think that's the deciding factor.
I don't think James Harden is capable of playing off-ball.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, moving around to get open shots, I think he absolutely is. He got open a bunch of times in the All-Star game. They just didn't pass to him. You remember the end of the All-Star game when there was, like, the actual, like, first of 24?
That's an All-Star game.
It is. That's the only time I've watched the Rockets, but you could see that they're moving around.
Yeah.
I don't really watch a lot of Rockets.
So,
the Rockets are easily, like, the best team that's the hardest to watch, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they still want to commit to that style.
All right. So I'm going to go Clippers. I think I'm going to bet on Kawhi Leonard being Kawhi Leonard and the rest of the Clippers supporting cast showing up. I'm going to bet on the Clippers, I think, in seven in the
Yeah, that,
top
that's what
series.
I'm
going
to go for, too.
Yeah, Clippers in six.
Okay.
All right, so doesn't matter. Either way, we're almost done. Clippers, Lakers, this is the tough one. I'm putting my money. Ooh, this is tough. I'm going to put my money on the Los Angeles Clippers. I know it's boring.
I'm saying that too because
I think
Paul George and Kawhi, I think, are super similar structure. Of a team, like two top
10. My money's on Los Angeles.
Well, no, the two top 10 players and then a bench. But I think the bench of one team in the Clippers is astronomically better.
You see, I think that the major question, because both of these teams can play defense. This is going to be a slugfest of a series.
Yeah.
I think the question is not whether the Kawhi can guard LeBron, because obviously we know Kawhi can guard LeBron. But can LeBron guard Kawhi?
Yes.
Man.
So then it's
Man,
Lakers,
I don't
I
give a
I
shit about no Paul George, here. Kawhi Leonard. Lakers are going to win six, man. LeBron is going to go off. Davis is going to do his thing, man.
With a very similar supporting cast, Kawhi Leonard won a title by himself.
Kawhi had Pascal Siakam, he had Kyle Lowry, he had Father Fred VanVleet.
Very
Fred
similar.
VanVleet was like
not exact,
dominant.
But I think it's a very similar team.
Okay, so
I disagree. I think that the Clippers are a lot more of a shooting team. You know, Pascal Siakam dominates inside. That's what he does. That's his thing. Kyle Lowry is definitely from Van Fleet and Lowry, but there was no Paul George type player on the Raptors. So I think I'm still going to go with the Lakers, but I'm going to go with the Lakers in seven. I think that we see a great series from LeBron James, but more importantly, we see a dominant performance from Anthony Davis.
Yeah, man, he can do his thing. Yeah, same thing with you, man. Lakers six or seven.
Halfway through the series, another stat, halfway through the series, not through the series, the season, I think it's like January 12th. Since like January 12th or January 13th, Anthony Davis is shooting 40% from three. Since like halfway.
I mean, that's what you also get from him. He's a big man, and he could trust
those shots.
That's very important to his NBA.
Well, he's those shots like against the Nets the last game of the season where he missed a wide open three.
That was bad, but he hit almost every other three to bring them in.
I mean, you're putting a microscope under one shot.
Yes, I am. But honestly, whoever wins this series, I think beats the Bucks because.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree completely.
It's hard because I love the Bucks team, but they need that. The problem with them is they have the best supporting cast in basketball with one of the best players in basketball.
Yeah.
The problem is they don't have that definite second consistently all-star caliber player.
Yep. You know, Chris Middleton is great, but he's more of a he's not going to get shut down by either Kawhi Leonard or Paul George or LeBron James.
He's an all-star level, but he's not consistently all-star level.
Yeah. He's here's the best way I think I can describe him. He's Klay Thompson, but without the hot hand that makes Klay Thompson, you know, so good. You know, when Klay Thompson's hot, he, like, is literally the best player like an Indiana at all times when he's hot. No one
I want to say Bucks because I want to see Brooke Lopez win a ring.
But I hope he wins a ring, too. I want to see Brooke Lopez win a ring so bad. But I think that the Lakers win in 7, and then the Lakers beat the Bucks in 6.
Yeah.
Because I think that the Lakers match up extremely well against the Bucks.
I think either Clippers or Lakers win in 6 against the
Bucks. Well, one thing's for sure. We pick
Los Angeles. One of the Los Angeles teams are winning the NBA Finals.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, all right. So I guess that's it. This was an hour and a half episode because it was so much to talk about. Wow. That's what happens when together. You go.
We'll probably do another one around the time training camps open up again.
Yeah, I believe the Nets have been granted permission to open their practice facilities.
They were, and the current date for training camps is June 24th, so like a month from today.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
something drastic happens and we have to do like an emergency podcast, we'll probably see you guys in about a month.
Like, unless
there's more substance to like a Beal rumor where something happens.
Or like there's some leak that like Beal wants to be traded or like Paul George has corona and will miss the playoffs.
Well, if Paul George gets corona, there won't be a playoffs.
Yeah, I'm just unless something happens, there's more Jazz rumors, there's more just anything like Russell Westbrook tears his Achilles at home or something.
Donovan Mitchell, Kirsten Dyer, Rudy Gobert in the secret.
No, I saw someone speculating on Twitter, joking around that I think it was like Katie made a major announcement on like Labor Day last year, so people are hoping he makes a major announcement that he's coming back on Memorial Day.
Bruh,
that's stupid.
I think Katie will make the announcement the day training camp happens.
If Kevin Durant is coming back, we will do an episode on it. If there's major news, we'll do an episode on it. But otherwise, there just hasn't been enough stuff to talk about, really. It's mainly been NBA Twitter being NBA Twitter. Yep. That's
you
all
could
I
make a podcast just about NBA Twitter drama, but we're not going to do that.
We could, but
all right, everyone. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Bye.